So hi, everyone. It's Elaine with Impact ADHD, and tonight is Thursday night, October 9th, 2014, and we're here for the Thursday night PSS group, and tonight's topic is going to be activating the brain. And so let's get started with just sort of a check-in. How's everybody doing? Any thoughts or feedback? I always like to start with celebrations. So since the last call, for those of you who were on one of the last couple of calls, how's it been going for you? Is there anything that's been going on you want to share or anything you want to celebrate? And you can all talk at once. I'll figure it out. So anybody got any celebrations? What's gone on the last couple of months that you're feeling good about?
I do.
Is that Melissa?
I was saying something and someone else was saying something.
Okay, so Melissa and Valerie. So Valerie, you start, then Melissa.
Oh, I didn't say a word, so it's someone else right now.
Oh, that's so
maybe
weird.
Maybe it's my own echo I'm hearing. Okay. So this is Melissa.
Okay, Melissa, you go for it.
Okay. I use the water sipping technique this week.
Uh-huh.
And I think it worked out okay. So, I mean, I was still angry. And the hard thing is like, I took a sip of water, but I felt like I needed to complete things instead of just letting things go. Because, you know, when you need to get homework done, you need to get homework done. But the water technique at least kept me from yelling as loud as I usually do. Huh? That's something to celebrate.
You know what? I really like that because it is a celebration. It's like it's incremental progress, and we want to make sure we're looking at progress, not perfection.
Right.
So if you screamed less loud this week than last week, then next week maybe you won't be screaming. You'll be talking sternly, and you know, and it'll progress from there.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. No. It's really, really important to recognize that distinction. So good. And the water is not a panacea. It's just, as much as anything, it's a reminder to you that, okay, I got to calm myself down.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, maybe it's taking a walk and drinking water, maybe it's some wall push-ups, you know, whatever it is, but I got to center myself before I continue. So it's okay to go back to it, but to really try to wait to go back to it until you've calmed yourself down. And if that is an extra 5 minutes, then that's an extra 5 minutes. Okay?
Yeah. Thanks.
Great. Okay. Who else has a celebration?
This is Terry.
I do. This is Heather.
Okay. Terry and then Heather.
Yeah.
So I am celebrating that tonight my daughter did not do her homework before she came home from the after-school program. And she was well aware that if she didn't have her homework done by the time they normally watch a television show, that she would not be able to watch a show. Normally, that would result in lots and lots of crying, and
mm-hmm.
not a tear today. So I am celebrating the fact that what I did was to let her and her sister know that that getting homework done and the usual chores done before TV time was a requirement to watch television. So
way to go. Set a clear, consistent expectation, and then hold accountability.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes, I gave her a hug and told her how proud I was of her for not crying about it and for knowing that that was the deal. And so she went to bed happy, and I'm happy.
Awesome. And she'll probably get her chores done the next time.
I keep trying.
She may not get them done every time, but now she gets... Here's the analogy I like to use, everyone. It's sort of like, forgive me for making this analogy, but I've been in dog training mode for the last month. It's like kids are a dog in a fence, and they're going to jump up against that fence to see if it's going to move. And they're going to keep jumping up against it until it stops moving, right? And so when we set a clear limit and set a clear expectation and then are consistent and accountable with it, once they get a sense of, oh, yeah, that's where the limit is, then they stop pushing it. It's really pretty cool. Of course, the challenge is that as they get older, the fence has to move. So that's a whole different discussion. But once you know how to set it, then you can set it again and again. So that was somebody else had a celebration. Was it Heather?
Yeah. Since I found you, like, this summer in August or whatever, we homeschool, and my My son's usually all over the place, but I got really strict this year with setting, like, schedules and reward systems, which I don't normally do the reward systems. I don't know why. I just didn't think they would work. But
uh-huh.
Our whole entire life has changed by creating these reward systems, from his anxiety to getting his school done. It's like there's not a fight. He just knows he's going to get these rewards he's working for, and he goes for it and does it. And it's been life-changing.
Oh, yay!
And hours crying about not going somewhere because his anxiety would take over. You know what I mean? It's just,
yes.
I'm in shock.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that. That's so great.
Yeah.
And what I will point you to is on the website, Diane did a webinar on how to make reward systems work.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's working and it's going great, you may want to sort of reinforce it for yourself by listening to that webinar.
Okay, great. Thank you.
In the member section, it's really good. So great. Any other celebrations before we move into tonight's topic? Congratulations, everyone. It feels like it's some nice momentum going, and I love to hear it. And I just want to acknowledge those of you who celebrated and those who didn't, and it may be because you didn't want to share or because you didn't feel like there was anything to celebrate or whatever, but celebrations are critical. In fact, when Diane and I first started Impact several years ago and we started doing coaching tips, celebration was, I think, the first or second coaching tip we wrote. Because it's so powerfully effective, not just for us, but for our kids, that when we see the little victories, the little steps along the way, those successes breed success. So bravo, and keep it going. So tonight, before we get into tonight's topic, I just want to take a few minutes to take aim, and we have a nice small group tonight, so everybody has a chance to get really clear on what your topic is. And then we'll move into the coaching tip of the night. It may be easier, even if it's like call group, if I call on people. If you can't talk, we'll give it a pause. If we know that there's a longer pause, we will go on to someone else and come back to you. But, Laura, can we start with you?
Sure.
Great. What do you want to take aim on tonight? What do you want to focus on? What change do you want to see happen?
You know what? I was reading about, like, activating the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to know how to help my son get started.
Okay.
And, you know, I can tell you what, you know, screaming and yelling like a maniac doesn't really work.
Great. So can you focus on, I think that's a great target, and you can keep it that general, but is there one particular thing you'd love to help him get started on?
I'll just say homework.
Okay.
It could be anything, but tonight
It could be anything, but it's always helpful to get one area that you can really get specific about. Okay, super. So Laura's working on getting him started on homework. And just remind me how old your son is.
Well, he's 13, you know,
okay.
So
is mine. Yeah.
You know, honestly, like, where do I, you know, I'm told to, like, lay off and let him do it. But he doesn't do it.
Right.
So
well,
I don't know.
What I want to point you to, though, is that it's not about doing it. It's what you're making a distinction between getting him to do his homework and helping him learn how to get started, right?
Okay.
His brain has a challenge with activation, so it's hard for him to get started. So it's a very important distinction that oftentimes the teachers don't understand, right? That his problem probably isn't doing the work, it's getting started on it. Once he gets started, he's probably going to be able to go on with it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
so that's the distinction I want you to hear, is that it's really not about getting him to do his homework.
It's about getting started.
Exactly.
It's about getting his brain engaged in whatever the activity he hates is, basically.
Exactly. And key word there is whatever the activity is that he hates. So
we'll
talk. And if it doesn't come up again later, remind me, let's talk about motivation. We'll talk about it again later in the year, but motivation is a huge piece of that. So great.
Yeah, and screaming is not a motivator.
No. And I'm really glad you know that.
Yeah, I think I forget it about, I forget
yeah.
everything I know sometimes.
Yeah, and you would not be the only one. In fact, there's a bunch of great research that came out this year by Tom Brown, who wrote the book called Smart But Stuck, and he's a Yale researcher. And the research is showing that emotionality and emotional intensity that we often see in people with ADHD is actually a working memory problem, and that when you are, for lack of a better word, screaming or freaking out or getting upset about something, you're stuck in that emotion and you're not able to access the other emotions that you have, like, I care about this kid and I don't want to yell at him, right? So it's actually
yeah.
something that's happening in your brain, and it happens to our kids too, but we'll get back to it. So can we move on for the moment?
Certainly.
Great. Okay, Valerie, what about you? What do you want to focus on tonight?
Oh, my God. If I could just repeat all the things she just said, I'm sitting here trying to figure out. I have 10-year-old twins, boy-girl twins. My son is the hyperactive flavor, and my daughter is the inattentive, for lack of a better word, flavor. So they're similar yet different. And it's funny, we did have a screaming moment earlier tonight, a lot of that, trying to get homework done and getting started after school. It was a beautiful day this afternoon, so I let them play outside for an hour, which they
right.
need to kind of de-stress, you know, decompress after they get home from school. It's hard for them, you know, to stay focused or whatever that long or engaged. So I said, oh, it's a beautiful day. Maybe we'll just try playing a little bit longer today, and I'm sure I can reel them right in. Well, that didn't work. So the accountability of just getting started, and if I let you play when you come in, the understanding is that we're going to sit down, we're going to hunker down and do our homework. That doesn't work
great.
That way. Okay.
Well, we're going
so
to get back to it.
So I agree.
We're going to get back to it.
Excuse me?
Great. So we're going to target, you're going to target on getting them started on homework as well.
Yeah. And we did do it. We did make a chart tonight and hung it on the wall about the time from 4 to 7 in the evening. So hopefully, I don't know. It's
great.
A step.
It's a step. And remember, you don't want to put the structure before the context. So we'll talk
exactly.
about that. Activate the brain as part of the context. We'll talk about that.
Still. Okay.
Okay. Melissa, what do you want to focus on if you can talk to us? We can't tell if Melissa can unmute or not. So we're going to move on. And if
I'm on mute. Sorry, I can't.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
But I'll say ditto, ditto. How about that?
You also want to focus on getting started on homework.
Yeah, actually, big time. No, I love you.
All right. Great. It's a perfect topic for tonight, so that's good. Terry, what do you want to focus on? And don't feel obligated to start on getting started on homework.
No, I don't feel obligated. I really, really want to get into this one for two reasons. One, there's a couple days a week where she is on her own, supervised by an adult, but on her own as to what she's going to do. And I'd like to at least spend half an hour getting her homework started.
How much? And how old is she? I'm sorry, how much is she? How
she's
much?
9, almost 10.
Okay.
She'll be 10 in next month.
Okay, great.
So I've asked her to do 30 minutes. She's at the program for about 2 hours.
Okay.
So I want to give her time to play. I don't want to take it away from her. But she seems to be better at getting homework done in the afternoon than in the evening.
I bet. Okay,
so,
got it.
Yeah. So where someone else, I can't remember whose kids do better if they've had a break, she does better if she just stays in the mode.
Okay. So I'm going to challenge you there a little bit.
Okay.
But we'll see, okay? I'm betting she does better once she's activated.
Mm-hmm.
And may be better in a structured environment like that. But the brain needs breaks.
Yes, and she has a break, so she has the time, you know, between school and getting there, and they have a decent snack time.
Good.
She's got, like, a good, I would guess, a good 40 minutes between the time she gets out of school, and she would be done with her snack. So
she
started after her snack, and then, you know, she'd be socializing with her friends beforehand and on the bus, and then
I got you. Okay.
Good.
All right. And Heather.
Okay, I'm here.
What do you want to focus on?
Well, I've already been taking aim in this month or so, like the last few weeks, on his anger management.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're focusing on right now. You know, like you said, I can't look at everything at once or you don't do anything because you get overwhelmed. So
exactly.
We're just focusing on that. And he can be very explosive and always off the handle on every little thing, especially when it comes to how he deems his feelings being hurt or, you know, all that type of stuff. Tear up a whole room, throw things through a wall. I mean, you name it. Any kind of thing can happen.
Okay.
One of the things that I found that has helped that I've been working on with him is pretty much I kind of empowered him, I guess. I coached him on that there was nothing necessarily wrong with feeling angry, and I explained that to him, but it was what he was doing with it, where he was crossing the line. And before, I think I was just – he was getting, you know, in trouble for these kinds of things. And so I've been trying to empathize with his feelings and talking through things, and I watch for what triggers him, and we go do something else, like, hey, let's go outside and jump on the trampoline, or, you know, just changing focus. And I've been praising him and reminding him. That's been the biggest thing. Almost every day I'll say, hey, remember what we talked about with your anger, and we go through it again, and then he is reminded. And I've also given him
So before you go out, could I just stop you for a minute?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm unclear. Are you continuing to work on that this week or in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm trying to just get it real. Yeah, I mean, we've made progress, but I want it to be just really set and
better
before I just.
So let's
out, you know?
Let's target in a little bit. What's one particular time where the anger still tends to flare up?
It's typically with his brother you know, it can be anyone he deems that didn't do him right, if that makes sense. Like, he's always the victim, you know what I mean?
So he feels like it's unfair.
Oh, yes, that kind of thing. Like, you did this to me, or you hurt my feelings, or that person said this. He has a really hard time with that type of thing.
So if we target in a little bit, it's about teaching him to keep himself together when he's feeling wronged.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
You guys are screaming in the background. Just know my kids are actually laughing. And it sounds like screaming. But they're being really loud. So if anybody is annoyed by it, please let me know and I'll go shush them. But my daughter is in town visiting, so they're all having a very good time. Okay, did I miss anybody? I think I got everybody. Everybody took aim, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, beautiful, beautiful. Let's, and before I get started, I just want to say we do want to do a little coaching around this tonight. So given that 4 out of 5 of you have the same topic, one of you may want to think about volunteering to get a little coaching around your topic when the time comes in a few minutes. So before we do that, though, I want to talk about activating the brain. And, you know, you've all probably read through the notebook, and you have a sense of the concept. And just sort of putting it into context a little bit, remember, we're starting with the action model as, you know, the first step is always to take aim, and the second is to collect information and is to get informed. And then when we start really tackling planning on how to address a challenge, we look at the 4 critical response areas. And those are activating the brain, parenting positively, setting realistic expectations, and using systems and structures. And I always sort of remind us that the systems and structures come last. They come in the context of those first 3. They don't work necessarily on their own without doing it in that understanding of that broader, those broader issues. So tonight we're going to talk about activate the brain, and then we're going to talk about it again throughout the year. We're going to go through all 4 of these, and then we're going to go through them again with specific coaching examples that work towards activating the brain and each of them. So you're going to hear it again and again from different angles so that you really get it in your bones, right? But so tonight is a little more general, and I was talking to Diane because I said, you know, this one is harder to teach because it's not one thing, right? Activating the brain is a lot of pieces. There's a lot involved with it. And there are sort of three reasons that we do it. One is just the better that we maximize our brain function, the more effective we're going to be. And whether that's whether with ADD or without ADHD, it doesn't matter. We all do better when our brain is activated. You know, that means we all do better when we get well sleep. We all do better when we eat nutritionally, when we exercise. Just any of us are going to do a better job in life. We're going to perform better. We're going to be able to regulate our moods better. All of that, everything's better when we have a happy, healthy brain, right? So that's just sort of the theoretical basis for it. Activating the brain also really works for people with ADHD or those kinds of neurobiological challenges because we struggle with different challenges with executive function. And so it really, really helps to understand executive function in order to understand ADD and understand the brain. So in the workbook for tonight, we've gone through the six aspects of executive function. And the framework that we use, I've mentioned Dr. Tom Brown a little while ago. We're a big fan of his work. And so we actually use his framework as a foundation for all of our methodology and all our work. He's divided executive function into six areas. And if you go online and you search executive function, you'll see it divided into 4 or 6 or 12. It's described in lots of different ways, but we think that his framework is the easiest to understand and to access. So that's why we use it. So I would encourage you to read the workbook. There is a webinar on the site. There are actually two webinars on the website on executive function. One is one that Diane and I did a couple of years ago that's a really good overall solid introduction to the concept, and then there's another one that Dr. Mark Burton did, I believe, last year or sometime in the last year. Again, a good framework for understanding executive function. So I do encourage you, if you don't feel really familiar with these concepts, to take that hour somewhere and learn about it because it's really fundamental to managing ADHD. Try to decide. Let me just ask, does anybody have any specific question about it or is anything coming up before I go on? Because I know this is a little more cerebral. Okay. So, and feel free, don't hesitate to interrupt me and just say Elaine until you get my attention if you need to stop me. So there are six areas of executive function. And that has to do with how we think and how we feel, and how we act, right? Our executive function controls everything, our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. So in the ADD brain, people tend to be impacted by one or two of these six areas, and sometimes they're impacted by all six. And so you can sort of see the degree to which your kid has serious ADD or mild ADD by how impacted they are in these six areas. I have one kid who's impacted, you know, three or four, and then my husband and my daughter are all six, right? So activation is one, and that's about organizing, prioritizing, and initiating activity. So that's what a lot of you want to talk about tonight. It's getting started. And getting started is often one of the biggest obstacles for people with ADD because once they get going, they're in a groove, they're moving, they're fine. But actually, it's like molasses to get up and get going and get moving. Right? Focusing. You may be going to school, but turning your attention to the task and focusing on the task, that's another area that we can be impacted. And so activating the brain may affect focus in terms of that ability to really hone in on an area, avoid the distractions, and concentrate. Effort is about sustaining the effort, sustaining the attention. So I may be able to sit down and start working on something, but in a couple of minutes I might get distracted or move away or I can't keep my focus on it, right? So that's another place where the brain really has an impact, and activating it can make a difference. Emotional management's come up a few times tonight. So regulating, modulating emotions is a huge issue for a lot of us. I've talked a little bit already about working memory and accessing recall, so that ability to hold some information in your brain while you're thinking about something else, that can be really hard to do if the brain's not engaged. And then the last one is monitoring and self-regulating the action, the ability to sort of inhibit action, stop yourself from acting, to stop the impulsivity, or to act appropriately. And those are all different kinds of executive function and all ways that can be improved, not necessarily go away or fixed, right, but can be improved by activating the brain. And so what are some ways that we activate the brain? In fact, Diane and I, for those of you who have homework headaches, we did a module within it that's like the 7 ways to activate the brain. And there's sort of a course within the course on that because it's such a impactful area and for so many people. Really, you want to look at, we use the term activate. You may, another way to look at it may be engaging the brain, right? So people with ADD are stimulant seekers. Does that make sense? They're seeking out stimulation. They're seeking input. We often hear when we talk about sensory kids, they're sensory seekers. So people with ADD, they're seeking stimulation to engage the brain and keep it interested. And that's why they're so easily distracted, because you may be sitting and listening to a class, but the bird out the window is actually more stimulation and more interesting. So the challenge with the ADD brain is to stay focused on one thing and to avoid that distraction, because you have the tendency to go for what's the most stimulating, the most interesting, the most compelling. So the idea is that that makes it really hard to regulate your attention, your focus, your energy. And a lot of this is almost about energy, because how do I explain this? So if you ever noticed in a day that you may have, how many people here drink coffee in the morning, coffee or tea to start your day?
I do.
Okay. Anybody else?
I do.
Okay.
All right. So a bunch of people do, and if you don't do, and then some of you don't. I don't either, because I had to break myself of it so I could learn to get myself going without it. But many, many, many people in our culture is filled with people who function based on caffeine regulation, right? We really don't get going until we have caffeine in the morning. And then usually about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, we may be looking for another bump, right? We may be looking for some way to sort of get that energy going. Well, the ADD brain has that same experience of having trouble regulating energy, but sort of on steroids. It's even harder. And so there are different ways that you want to regulate that or activate the brain. And part of it is about becoming conscious of the need to activate the brain. So with our kids, we want to start helping them become aware that, wow, it gets really hard to start paying attention around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, doesn't it, right? That we want them to own the idea that it's their responsibility to figure out how to engage their brain and activate their brain. So they can do that in a lot of ways. They can do that through nutrition. Protein is a great way to engage the brain. And we've seen a lot of studies now on the relationship between protein and ADHD and how useful it is for that, for the brain. Exercise is a great way to engage and activate. Sometimes drinking water. Certainly just sort of overall good nutrition is a great way to keep the brain engaged and lubricated, if you will. Some people use medication to do it. Sometimes it's just sort of an awareness of it and knowing that now's a good time to go back and I'm starting to phase out, so maybe it's time to take a break. Breaks are another good way to give the brain a rest and let it sort of rejuvenate. So the idea here is to become conscious of the need to activate, to get clear on when we need to activate, and then start getting some strategies in place that might work. So a lot of people want to talk about after school getting started on homework. It's a perfect example, a perfect way to apply some of this. Before we coach someone around it, I want to just sort of open it up to discussion. What's coming up for you guys? What are you thinking about at this point in terms of your topic or just generally in terms of activating the brain? And one more thing I just want to say. It's not just for our kids. It really makes a difference for us. As we get older, we get more pulled, we get more on our plate, and it makes it all the more important that we make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and activating our brain too, whether it's through exercise or nutrition or fish oil or, you know, whatever it is we're doing. So that's sort of my spiel on activating the brain. What's coming up for you guys?
This is Terry. We've been focusing on protein, high protein breakfast, and keeping the carbohydrates out of breakfast, snack, and lunch. And we think that's helped a lot at school.
What have you noticed in terms of helping, just his ability to perform well at school?
Yeah, so I just got a note from the teacher saying that she's able to get focused on her classwork and stay on task, and she actually wishes other kids could do that. And
so just by pulling carbs out of the diet and replacing it with
no cereal for breakfast, yogurt, fruit, snack is fruit and vegetables. Lunch is a sandwich on whole wheat bread, and keeping up the fruit and the vegetables, and it's really helped immensely.
Right. I want to reiterate, you're not saying no carbs. You're saying pull back on the carbs and use healthy carbs.
Yes. On the weekends, she can have carbs for breakfast. We don't have a problem with that. And at dinner, I always make sure I have something that she likes to kind of make
Brilliant.
Up for what she might be wishing she had when she sees, you know, someone else at the breakfast table eating a bowl of cereal.
So has she been resistant to it?
No, she's pretty happy. I think because she's gotten some good feedback at school.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't feel
and
like
were you when you did
so
this, did you say we're going to do this to try to help you concentrate?
Yes.
Great.
And she's all on board for anything that will help her.
Great.
Yeah, so if we tell her, and if we tell her it's healthy for her, she's even more on board, so... I have a kid who will eat broccoli and spinach, so it does make that a little bit easier for me than for other parents I know.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. And you get extra mom points for not just trying to convince her to do it, but giving her an understanding of what she's doing it for, helping her have a motivation for it.
So
who else has observations? What's worked? What questions come up? What do you think?
So this is Laura. I think I need maybe more specifics about how to actually get started, how to get him to get started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I somehow, like, magically want this all done before I get home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is magical thinking.
Yes. You know, but sometimes it is done before I get home. You know, so my son is 13, and there are days where he does his homework before I get home.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, then there's other days where it's a battle. And
So I want to hold you for a second, Laura, and we can coach you around it in a second. But we're sort of talking about two different topics here. One is about how do you get him started on homework, but I want to get clear on what it means to activate the brain first and make sure everybody's sort of clear on that, because you could be activating the brain in order to go to sleep or to get homework done or to get chores done or to stay awake during class. It's about regulating your brain's attention to the extent that you can and sort of reinforcing, filling the fuel tank, if you will, of the brain.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I just don't. I feel like I need like specifics. Like, okay.
I hear you, and if you can give us just another minute, I just want to close this conversation, and then we're going to coach around that. Okay.
Sure.
Great. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions, anything else that's come up on specifically on strategies or ideas around activating the brain?
I have a question. It's Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the situation we have is we'll get started on homework, and then he'll get distracted. So it sounds like I need to look through that list about executive functioning. So can you activate and do you reactivate when those things happen? Is that kind of what
That's
you
That's a great
do?
Way to put it, yeah. So So yes, that's a great example. So there's what happens before they get started, and then if his issue may not be getting started, it may be sustaining the effort. That's another place to look. I'll give you an example. My son came into my office a couple of weeks ago to write a paper at night, and he was having a hard time staying focused, so he came in to sort of use me as an accountability partner. And he got up and he walked out and he came back and he said, "I hate it when you're right." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, the push-ups really work." And so he's heard me say it, but he didn't really want it to be true, right? But he left, he did push-ups and came back and was able to finish his paper. So he uses it, and I keep a chin-up bar in my pantry, in the door to my pantry. So they use that kind of physical activity regularly because my kids tend to have that sort of physical need. They're very hyperactive. They like to roll around. And physical activity doesn't necessarily have to be exercise, right? For my kids, they like to wrestle. Pillow fights, tickle fights, those kinds of things are a great physical outlet too. And it really engages the brain. It really gets them woken up and gets them moving. So yes, if he's getting distracted, to help him recognize when you get distracted, what strategies can you put in place to get yourself back on track, right?
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so exercise is a great one. Having protein, we keep a big bowl of, everybody know what GORP is?
Mm-hmm.
Right, of peanuts and raisins and M&Ms and stuff in it. We keep it a big bowl on the kitchen table. So if they need to get up and take a break, they can walk in, get a handful of GORP. Moving around, taking that break is also another way to get themselves reactivated. And sometimes you'll see your kids in strange positions when they're doing their homework. The traditional parenting philosophy is that they should do their homework sitting up at a desk in the same place every day. And I just don't think that works for our kids very well. And what I see really works for my kids is they need to be able to move. Sometimes they're in a hammock. Sometimes my daughter loves to lie on the dining room table because that way she can hang her feet over the edge. She's really tall. And she needs to be able to move, even in those little ways like bouncing her feet, to be able to really concentrate. So sometimes somebody was talking in a call earlier today about doing spelling words while you bounce a basketball, right? Some of these kids are really kinesthetic, and so that movement can help, not just before they start doing homework, but while they're doing it. Anything else coming up for anyone? Or should we coach around this a little bit? Laura, can we coach you a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So the scenario is he's 13, and you want to help him get started on his homework before you get home. Is that correct?
Yes, but I will say I don't really care. I don't mind if he waits till I get home. I just don't want it to be my homework.
Uh-huh. So what does that mean? Is he waiting for you? So let's collect a little information. Is he waiting for you so that you can sort of get him to do it?
Well, he recently has started skateboarding. And so since there's daylight after school, I don't mind if he goes out and skateboards when he gets home. I don't mind that at all.
It's healthy.
It's healthy, yeah, and I'm happy that he wants to do anything physical.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is that then when I get home, you know, I don't get home till 6 o'clock
mm-hmm.
or later sometimes. So when I get home, I'm making dinner and all that kind of stuff, and sometimes he chooses to sit in the kitchen at the counter to do his homework. And sometimes he'll do that while I'm cooking, and he does it, and then he's finished. And it's like, it's really not a big deal. But this week has been a very big deal. And it's been a battle, and it's been like, okay, well, you can't skateboard until you finish your homework then, or at least get it started or something. If But I don't,
so,
you know what, I think I'm just wishy-washy. I don't know really what the best thing is. To me, the best thing is to get it done whenever he's going to get it done.
So let's investigate a little bit. So it's been going well, and now sort of suddenly there's a problem?
Well, I'll just say I don't know about going well. But it's become more of an issue since he's been skateboarding. And I don't want to take the skateboarding from him because he really enjoys it, and it's a limited time, like, amount of daylight.
Right.
So I'm trying to...
So let me get, I'm just trying to understand the dynamic, okay? So I totally get you want him to be able to have the afternoon to do his homework. And so what you're saying is by the time he comes in now, he's less likely to be willing to do it?
Seems like it, yes. Because now he wants to come in and just, like, hang out and chill out. But now it's late, you know?
Now it's late, and he's tired from the skateboarding.
And he's tired, and he's hungry, and, you know, so, you know, I know he's got to eat before he can do all of that stuff. But it becomes a bit of a battle. It becomes the, I hate school, this is stupid, this is for idiots, I'm not doing this. And then it goes on and on.
Okay. So first thing I would say is, have you had a conversation with him at a different time when he's not already hungry, what we call hungry and angry and tired, right?
Yeah, yes. Many conversations when I'm talking to my son and not that hunger monster. Yes, absolutely.
And how does that conversation go? I mean, what's the agreement that you have?
The agreement is that he will do as much homework as he can while he's in school. And he'll come home, he'll have a snack, get his homework started. He calls me at work. And if he gets some of that homework done, then he can go.
That's the agreement you've got right now since things have been a problem.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what he's resisting to. Is that correct?
He's resisting, yes, because, he's 13. He wants to hang out with his friends. So
They're
like... That whole thing is starting to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for the social social part of it, but we still got to do what I say, you got to do what you got to do so you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so the homework might take a half hour, and the arguing could take 2 hours.
Right. So I'm trying to get a sense of whether we're talking about working with the agreement you've got now or where things were going before they became a serious problem.
I think it's coming up with an agreement that works now. I think I need a new agreement. I think I need to set reasonable boundaries and expectations for him. It's got to get done.
I want to tweak your language a little bit. I want to help you set reasonable expectations with him.
Okay.
He's now 13, and we want to begin to shift that baton of responsibility from you to him, right? It's his homework. It's his job to get it done, and we want him to own it and him to, as long as he can point his finger at you making him do it, then it's your problem, not his. And as soon as you begin to shift that to him, then he's going to own it, and he's no longer deflecting to you, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, people tell me, you know, Lori, you just have to let him fail. And, you know, I can't do that yet.
And it's different with our kids. And I want to address that for a minute because it's really important, okay? For our kids, it's not that we want to continue to set them up for success, and sometimes they're going to fail. But we want that to happen within an opportunity to be successful, right? We don't want them to fail because we've set the bar out of reach for them, and then they feel like a failure. But if we set reasonable expectation that they're part of creating, and then we hold them accountable to it, and sometimes they're going to make it and sometimes they're not going to make it, then they're going to learn. But that's one of the only ways that our kids will learn from experience. They're not going to learn from some of the other things when it's when the expectations are set out of range for them. Okay? So, and who was it earlier at the beginning of the call that was celebrating setting a clear limit and expectation?
That was Terry.
Not me.
That was Terry. So, Terry, can you just reiterate what an example was that how that worked for y'all?
So a little bit of background. I had told her a number of times that she had to finish her homework before she could watch a show, and it resulted in lots of crying and a fair amount of anger, emotionality. And so what I did was I talked to both of the kids, because she has a twin sister, so you can't treat them too differently,
right,
that television at night would have to be earned. And that required homework to be complete, which is not a problem for the other child, but was definitely a problem for this one. And the chores, the regular chores, nothing extensive, would have to also be done before they could watch what we call a good night show.
Uh-huh.
And
did they both agree to it?
Yes, I got them to agree to it. And so we've had a couple nights where we were in danger, and I've told her twice and reminded her that she was responsible for getting her homework done, and if she didn't, she was going to miss the show. And now I'm at the point where I've told her, I'll remind you once when you get home that your homework has to be done before you can watch a show. She needs that reminder because she'll forget.
Right, that's fair. And just a note, you may want to help her begin to set up reminders for herself.
Yeah, she hasn't figured out how to do that too.
Is she too young for a phone?
Yeah, so she has a phone with no phone service, so she's not something she carries with her all the time.
Got it. Okay.
We do have, she actually works really well with checklists, but there are some places I won't tape them. There are other places in the house
that I will, but
not a place where she'll see it at night.
A lot of our kids, a lot of us with ADD, and I'm definitely one of them, I call it, I organize by field of vision. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
She may need the visual reminder, and I don't want to lose where we were with Laura. So thanks for that, and we'll come back to it. But so what I heard in that, Terry, was you communicated it with them, you set a clear expectation, and you set a clear accountability for what would happen if she hit it and if she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it wasn't you being the bad guy. If she hit it, great. If not, well, that's the system being the bad guy, not you.
Yeah,
right?
It worked wonderfully.
Right. So, Laura, how can you apply that to your circumstance with your son? What comes up for you?
Well, first of all, when you spoke, I thought that was wonderful. I like, that's a goal. That would be something to strive for, to be able to be that clear and consistent and have it work like that. And so I've been thinking about, okay, how can I do this? And I think what I'm leaving out is I have to engage him in it. He has to agree.
Yes.
And so, you know, for him.
And at 13, I would add a little bit more. Not only does he need to agree, but he needs to be part of the decision.
Yeah, yes, yes. You know, tonight my solution tonight was to just quit homework.
Uh-huh.
And say, okay, it's yours, I can't be involved, it's too upsetting. But that's not gonna work, right? So
he's not ready for you to quit on him. Right, and that's not
right, and I don't wanna quit. I was just
right.
It was very upsetting.
No, I get it. You were frustrated. And what he needs, so we want him to set up a structure, right? But he doesn't know how to create the structure. So you're
right.
Going to have to help him create a structure that works for him, not for you. We want it to work for you, too. Don't get me wrong. But the idea here
for
is
him.
Creating the structure that's designed for how his brain works. Right? So you've got
yes.
a lot in place. He needs a break, he needs a snack, and he needs exercise. Check, check, check. All great ways to activate the brain. Right?
Okay.
Now he needs to get going. So, you know, does he need a quick protein snack while you're making dinner so he can get started on his homework, even though he's about to have dinner, right?
Yes, we do. I do that.
So does he need a shower? Does he, you know, like, what is it that, and then make it conscious, so overt, have the conversation. We're going to do this. Does that sound like it would work for you? And let him be part of that decision. Does that resonate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because that way, when it does work, great, then he's been part of the success. And when it doesn't work, he's part of the accountability. You know, and you get to be compassionate with him when it doesn't work. And there are going to be days where it's not going to work. It's like, oh, man, like Terry, I'm sorry you don't get to see your program tonight, sweetie. Would you like to read a book together instead? So it's not punishment. It's just clear consequence accountability, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I know you can do it tomorrow night. We'll try again, right? So that you get to be a compassionate member of his team instead of the adversary that he gets to blame so that it's really not his responsibility.
I like that, compassionate member of his team.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal here for all of us. And, you know, and a lot of times I hear parents say it's rude and I don't want them to talk back and da-da-da-da. But remember, if our kids don't learn to negotiate with us, mm-hmm. then they're going to be negotiating with their peers. And as teenagers, we want them to have some good negotiation skills on board before they start dealing with drugs and alcohol exposure, right? And the best place for them to negotiate is to learn to say that back to us. Well, how about if I get to do it till 6:30, Mom? Right? That's a life skill they're learning. My son, every time I say 15 minutes, he'll say 17, 20, you know, like... And sometimes I'll say, okay, 17, and sometimes I'll say 12, and then he'll say, okay, 15, right? But that's a valuable lesson for them to learn is how to negotiate.
My son is a pretty good negotiator.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah, but just understand it's a skill, it's a critical life skill to be able to negotiate for what you want. And we want them to learn to do it with us safely. Yep. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions to close this, and I want to ask everybody to ask yourself the questions too. The four questions that we're always going to end with are, what did we focus on in this conversation? What clarity do you have? What aha are you taking away? What commitment do you want to make, and what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? And so while I'm asking Laura if everybody else will answer those questions for yourselves in your notebook or your workbook for what you were focusing on tonight, then I'll ask everybody for your commitments. But Laura, what do you feel like we focused on in this conversation?
And I feel like we focused on making this particular situation part of something that our family is going to work on together, and that my son will be a major part of putting together a plan that will work around this issue.
Right.
And that putting together this plan will allow for accountability. The consequences will make sense because he will choose the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know what to expect. I love what you talked about, compassionate member of his team. I forget that word. I was not compassionate this evening. And that his negotiating skills are actually, he's really good at that.
That's great.
Really, really good at that.
Which is great, because you can work on that. So what's your aha? What's your takeaway from tonight?
You know, I have to say my aha has been the same every week. I forget what I know. It's very hard to keep it in practice when I'm not at the top of my game. And my aha was the phrase that you used, compassionate member of his team. That's an aha for me.
Right.
That moved me.
Great. And what do you want to commit to this week?
This we are gonna it's not me, right? It's not Supermom.
Yep.
We are gonna make this work because.
So I want to remind you that you're gonna try something and then you're gonna tweak it because some of it's gonna work and some of it's not.
Yes, I you know, in my job we do these plan, do, check, act cycles. It's this thing we do, and we. We plan something, we do it, we come back, we check it. If we need to tweak it, we tweak it. And then, you know, it's like it's always you're coming around and you're reviewing it to see if it works.
Yeah.
I do this every day at work. Why I don't do it at home, I don't know. I don't know. I'm tired at home.
And there's a lot to be said for that. And that's why don't forget the importance of activating your own brain, making sure you're not having these kinds of conversations till after you've had your dinner. You know, making sure you're getting to sleep on time, getting that rest that we all need, making sure that we're fueled is really important, going back to the self-care conversation. So is there anything you need to do in particular to set yourself up for success?
No, I just need to do it. It's a, you know, it's a long weekend, and my son's actually going away with a friend for the weekend, so, well, you know, we have a little time to decompress. This was a
right.
difficult thing. I'll see him before he goes, but and we'll start new. We'll start
great.
Fresh.
Okay.
You know, I never feel alone after these phone calls. I don't feel like a crazy person. As soon as
you're not a crazy
you guys talk, you know, and it's very helpful.
Great. I'm really glad. So let's open it up to everybody else. And what I want to ask you to do, Laura, for accountability is after you've had the conversation and created a plan with him, will you post it on the forum and let us know how it went?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Who else wants to share what your commitment is for the next couple of weeks?
Oh, you did. Now you can make noise. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to straighten
up. I was trying to say his phone. Yeah. I called him. I didn't realize.
So, Valerie?
You can talk now.
What are you committing to this week?
Let's see.
What
am I going to do? We're going to put a plan in place that the kids will both be a part of. Just to make, I think what we want to do is, again, have them have buy-in and some accountability. I like the idea if they don't do something, they don't get to watch their favorite show. And they do get away with quite a bit here, so I need to be a little more firm. So
can I offer clear rather than firm?
Sure, clear is perfect.
Because I don't think oftentimes I think it's not about being firm. If we would just communicate really clearly what our expectations are and the results are or the accountability is, we don't have to be firm. We get to be compassionate. So
that's true.
What I hear is you're
going
to put a plan in place that they're both part of.
Yes.
And really focus on getting their buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Who else wants to share?
One of the things I thought about doing to commit to is, like she said, having the boys involved, but creating a list of ways to activate the brain and posting it in our kitchen. So that way we can focus on it all day until it becomes like a habit instead of forgetting about it when it's too late.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea, and I would let them brainstorm with you.
Yeah, and maybe like making a snack drawer and just having types of things in there that are protein things that could be stored in there instead of all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep, that's a great idea. And don't forget, y'all, to think outside the box in terms of activating the brain. It's not just, you know, sleep, exercise, protein. Calming, meditation, taking a walk, a good conversation, connecting with a friend, that can be really re-engaging the brain, especially for really social kids or extroverted kids. As I say, tickling, pillow fights, wrestling, playing with the dog. So it's not just the structural stuff. It's also just sort of the holistic, healthy, for some people, spirituality, but just things that make people feel connected also engages the brain. So think, as you're brainstorming, think outside the box. And Heather, once you brainstorm that list, would you please, please share it with us on the forum?
Okay.
And we could, I think there's a way to upload a document. So if you have trouble doing it, send it to me and we'll upload the document and let people play
Where
with it.
Where did you say to share it at?
On the Facebook forum.
Oh, the Facebook forum. Okay.
Yep. Okay, who else? Terry or Melissa?
All right, I'll go. I'm already taking aim on two things that I'm keeping up on, and that is one is the expectations around homework and chores will be done before television. Interestingly, my kids don't negotiate with us at all. And a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with them, and we did some role-playing on negotiation. And they kind of got it, but they really haven't come back with anything. And so that's another thing I'm going to continue to focus on, because that helps reduce emotionality instead of when I say, can I watch such and such? And I say, no, I don't think so. They never come back to me with, something. They don't negotiate. So I want to work on that. And then on this discussion about getting started on homework and my particular need to have her start it, at least do some of it at the after-school program, I'm going to talk with her and come up with a plan to help her. What does she need to remember to get it started?
Great.
So it gives her, 50 minutes to play with her friends. And because she has a huge memory issue, letting her play with her friends first is surefire disaster. So I got to get her to do the homework first. And the playing is the reward.
Right. I was going to say, just make sure you've got a reward piece in there. If it's out of your sight and mind, right?
Yes.
If she's on her own.
Yes.
Make sure you've got something in there for a reward, even if it's a reward she's going to get at home later.
Yes. I was just thinking that maybe I'll come up with some reward at home.
Yeah.
Because our issue is they're not home until after 5, and she's one of those kids who desperately needs sleep, so she's in bed by 7:30.
7:30?
So, yeah.
I'm so jealous.
I know. The good thing is she doesn't fight me on it because she knows how much she needs to sleep.
Yeah, that's great. All right, great. Thanks. All right, Melissa.
Yeah.
I think you're the last one.
Yeah.
Tonight. What are you committing to?
I think the whole homework thing about TV after everything's done, like he does get away with more than he should. So I think coming up with a structure and a plan that, and I'll look at those videos online, just that we can have success with it. I think putting checklists in place and stuff like that, consequences, I think was the key thing that's going on. But I just want to share my aha moment.
Uh-huh.
Because I know it was like a little aside, but that's what I really appreciate about being in this phone call, about the new research that has to do with anger as working memory kind of issues.
Uh-huh.
Because I have ADD and I don't have great memory, and I flare up real fast. So I'm really going to want to look into that research, because that was more my aha moment. It was like, okay, well, then how can I strengthen that? So maybe I can work on the sips of water and the working memory process. So that was. I'm grateful for that. So thank you.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I would recommend the book Smart But Stuck. And he did a webinar for us too. It's also on the site, Dr. Tom Brown.
Okay.
It's a great. He's a beautiful storyteller. So it's like a 1-hour webinar. It's terrific. And and if you want some coaching around it, we can certainly coach you through some of that as well. What I would say is that getting some sort of a message that you tell yourself may be a great way for you to, you know, like when you start to flare, what is it that you're going to tell yourself that's going to bring yourself back to center? What else is important, right, to you? So that's just
right. Remembering he's a human being and a little person is usually would be a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes just to say, you know, I really love this kid.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to remember that, but yeah.
It's really hard. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
So did I miss anybody or did we get everybody? Okay. So my apologies for going a little over time. I have the feeling this is going to be a consistent issue. So, you know, give yourselves an hour and 15 minutes. And I just want to make sure people don't get cut off and everybody gets heard and their issues addressed to the extent that we can in this environment. You know, this is not a one-to-one coaching call, but I want to make sure everybody is feeling heard and addressed. So thank you for the time and the commitment to yourselves and your kids and to each other. Anybody got any sort of parting things you want to share or words or anything before we say goodnight and come back in a couple weeks?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Truly my pleasure and my privilege. Y'all have a great couple of weeks. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.